So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thank you to everyone that completed our listener survey. Since the last episode, we learned lots. Someone is going to win some merch, more on that later. And we learned that while you know Terry has videos on Carfection, you didn't know that they have other brilliant F1 videos on there. So we are starting a film club. This week, there is McLaren Senna, a tribute to Ayrton's greatest lap.
Next is perhaps the most extraordinary overtake. As the train of cars sweeps downhill through the intimidatingly fast crane of curves, Ayrton stays wide in the wet and passes the Sauber of Wendlinger around the outside of the right hander. It's a sensational reading of the track and the available grip.
Phil, what are your thoughts on that?
It's lovely. Really well, really nicely shot, really nicely written, well presented by Henry Catchpole. A really nice in-depth look into not only the McLaren Senna road car, but also reminiscing on Ayrton Senna's terrific lap around Donington in the wet at the 1993 European Grand Prix, and then going to Donington with the Senna, doing it again, but except not in the wet or in a race.
Terry?
I don't know if I'm doing this wrong, but when I go to Carfection, I expect there to be some bearded twat going on about Formula One and trying to be funny. And instead, we get some well-made, well-written, nicely researched piece about a car and a lap.
I think you're being a bit harsh on yourself, Terry. I mean, the only real difference is that Henry Catchpole doesn't have a beard and you weren't driving a car.
And I can't drive a car.
Yeah, but he probably can't pilot a shopping trolley either.
True.
So thank you. That was our new Carfection Film Club. Go check it out now. We have linked to it in the show notes. Carfection, for the love of cars. Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the most successful F1 podcast of all time.
We have won more podcasts than Missed Apex have.
Yeah, it's true. Between us and Lewis Hamilton, we've got 92 Grand Prix victories.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the Marlboro Tattoo of F1 podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about. As you can see, I've had it lasered off.
Other arm, Terry. Yeah.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the Kimi Raikkonen opening lap of F1 podcasts.
It looks like we're going to have a really exciting podcast, but after a few minutes, it'll just go into the same old sh**.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that starts unexpectedly wet, but then progresses about as you'd expect.
I'm sorry, this has never happened before. I think it's because it's cold.
Hello you, I'm Chica Ayres, and in time you will come to fear me. But for now, we are going to talk about the Portuguese Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton ascended into the heavens to become a golden god. Kimi looked good for a bit, and Albon sealed his fate as next year's AlphaTauri driver. We are going to talk about that, whether Portimao turned out to be a good track or not, someone wins some merch, and there'll be C-bombs galore starting right now.
Well, I can just say
that is all to come. Joining me is a freelance motoring journalist who drove some BMWs. It is Phil Tromans.
I went out and about again for only the second time on a work trip since March, whenever it was. I went to Bicester Heritage, a frankly tremendous facility, where BMW had decided to bring basically all of its cars and let us drive any, as motoring journalists, drive any that we hadn't driven.
When you say BMW brought all of its cars?
Yeah.
You don't mean...
Approximately 85,000 of them this year.
So like anyone who had a BMW just suddenly woke up in the morning to find it had gone from their driveway.
And they'd all been activated. They are going to have a lot of explaining to do. But, you know, motoring journalists are quite important people. So, you know, they'll understand, I'm sure.
What was the best car what you drove on your day out?
Well, I actually only drove a handful of them. I drove the new 4 Series. Big grill. Very big grill.
Is there such a thing as a 5 Series?
There is. I drove one of those as well.
And a 6 series?
One. Yep, there's a 6 series.
What about 7?
Yep.
8?
Yep.
9?
No.
Oh.
Because 9 is no in German.
Oh, you're doing a joke and I totally skipped
over it. So is there a 10?
No.
Is there a 9?
Oh.
9.
Cool.
And alongside him is a human man who went to a museum. It is Terry Saunders.
I experienced some culture for the first time since, I don't know, January. And I went to the Design Museum.
That sounds good, and I want to hear more about it. But what do you think this podcast is? Is this culture?
It's not me experiencing culture. This is me delivering culture. Standing at the side of the road with a megaphone shouting the word culture into your fetid ears.
That's not the word you shout.
This begins with a C. No, I went to a museum exhibition about electronic music. Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, okay. I don't need to go now.
Sorry, spoiler.
Chica, what have you been doing?
One of my best friends is leaving London. She's left London. And originally we were going to have a party to say goodbye. And then that got downgraded to a meal for 12 of us. Then that got downgraded to a meal for 6 of us. And then obviously that then got downgraded to a walk in the park. So we had a slightly disappointing walk in the park to say farewell to a really old friend of mine. So,
yeah. I mean, you're presumably see her again, unless, of course, you go to tier 3.
No, that was it. That was it. Just, you know, walk in the park and then wiped her out of my life.
Wow.
That'll do.
Is London tier 2 now, then?
Oh, yeah, we're tier 2, baby.
Ooh, yeah. That must suck.
What's Hayward Heath?
We're minus 2 at the moment. It's lovely. We've got more freedom than we had before. I can go into other people's houses.
You've got people sleeping over.
Cool.
No, we're having a lovely time. No, I think we're still tier 1. It's been relatively not less terrible here so far.
It's Listener's Corner time, and this week it's a steep off-camber left-hander that has just been resurfaced, and it's greasy. The main story at Portimao was Lewis Hamilton waltzing into a dominant victory and beating Michael Schumacher's long-held record of 91 victories. Lewis is now officially the most successful F1 driver ever. So Ben Turnbull says Lewis Hamilton certainly makes it hard to like him sometimes, but you have to respect that he is a gentleman and a true sportsman. Let's face it, Schumacher wrote the book on unsportsmanship, and I'm not sure Senna was much better. Ryan Simpson agrees and says, I'm not a big fan of his, but he's always won the right way, never resorted to underhand tactics, and never had a teammate who's literally only there as a human sacrifice. Tom Chapman says, I was quite shocked when I read that only 21 of Hamilton's win came at McLaren. If things had been different and Mercedes had not turned into the dominant team in F1, would we be looking at him as a good one-time world champion like Mansell? And David Burnham says, Hamilton has been very fortunate that he was able to go straight into one of the big winning and competitive teams like McLaren. Most new drivers to F1 have to drive for teams expected to be at the back of the grid.
Right. What do you think? First of all, bullshit to that.
Which one was
the last one.
Right.
He was not fortunate that he got into McLaren. He got into McLaren because he was clearly fucking amazing. It's like saying Max Verstappen.
In his first season, look how well he did. He wouldn't have done that well if he wasn't an amazing driver.
And in in the GP2 season before, he was astounding and everyone was talking about him. Now, you could argue, maybe you could argue Verstappen's as good and he should have got straight into Red Bull and not been touted around Alpha, what's it called? What are they called? Toro Rosso for a few races. But that's just the way it goes. So
it is. To the earlier point of, if he hadn't, if Mercedes had not turned into the dominant team, would we be talking about as much? I think he's a very large part of why Mercedes turned into the dominant team, because everything I read and hear about him says he's exceedingly good at helping to build a really, really good car. You know, it's not just the fact that he's really quick at driving. You know, he understands the cars, he understands what's needed in a winning car, and, you know, with all due respect to the engineers, they can only do so much because they're not F1 level drivers. They need that kind of feedback and input from the drivers to be able to continue to build brilliant cars. And that's another thing that he's tremendously good at. It'd be interesting to see how he would do if he ended up at Minardi in his first season and, you know, then never got further than Racing Point. But the reason he's got that far is because he's so good. You know, other drivers haven't got there. I think, was it Toto Wolff who said this week, other drivers moaning that he's only got these victories because he's in such a, it's because he's in a Mercedes. It's like, well, maybe they should be asking themselves why they're not in a Mercedes.
Ooh, bitch.
Yeah.
But also bitchy, what do you think about people saying that they don't like him?
Racist.
I mean, that's... I mean, you know, to a certain extent, I suppose that's fair enough. You know, he can come across sometimes as a bit holier than thou, not in a religious sense, but just sort of, you know, a little bit Michael Jackson-y. Not in that sense. But I completely agree that, you know, from a sportsman point of view, I think he more than holds a candle to Schumacher and Senna, because that, I can't think of too many times when Hamilton's been accused of any particularly underhand tactics.
No, it's
you
true.
Know, he's never rammed anybody off at Suzuka or parked his car and during qualifying at Monaco or tried to ram somebody off the track twice or been banned for a whole season for doing it, or disqualified, I should say. So, yeah, no, I agree with Ryan and Ben. You know, whether you like him as a personality or not is almost immaterial. I think he's a very sportsmanlike, tremendously talented in all sorts of different areas, Formula One driver. And
I love him.
Yeah, let's put it out there now. I would leave my wife for it. No, I wouldn't. Darling, if you're listening. She's not listening.
She's not listening. Well, I think he's great. And also, I don't think other sports people, I don't think it's often thrown around how much you like their personality. Okay, so with Alex Albon continuing to be shit and a likely seat opening up at Red Bull next year, who will fill it? So Ian Martin says, right, look, if you are listening, Christian Horner, and you don't sign Perez for 2021, you are a fool, plain and simple. And Will Bowen says, Gasly has re-signed for AlphaTauri. I think he must have pissed in Christian Horner's tea when he was at Red Bull.
So,
what do you think?
I mean, all right, so in order, Albon, as we'll talk about later, had another lousy race. That must have been his last chance, surely. Is there anything he could do for the rest of the season that would go that would make Red Bull go, no, actually, no, we'll keep him?
He'd have to win the championship.
He would. I mean, that would probably do it. But even then, you know, Damon Hill won the championship and he still got the boot from Williams, so...
True.
Dave. Gasly has indeed re-signed, confirmed today, in fact, that he'll be at AlphaTauri again next year. So he's not going back to Red Bull. And the scuttlebutt is that basically Red Bull didn't like the way he worked, as well as him not being particularly good. So that's him done. Perez.
No fucking way.
So who?
Hulkenberg?
Why not? Why not Perez?
I don't like him.
Leaving outside his personality for a second.
It's not personality. It's actually his driving. He's a boring driver. So it is his personality, but
it's his driving personality.
It's just he's good. The thing is, he's proven that he's a great midfield driver, and he's really good at making some tyres last and getting in the points on an occasional podium. I don't think he'd be any good at a top team.
But isn't that what you want? Don't you want a Bottas next to Verstappen's Hamilton?
Hulkenberg's a good Bottas. He'll get a lucky podium.
Hulkenberg's never had a podium. Perez has had loads of them.
Yeah, because Perez cheats.
So you're saying Hulkenberg.
Perez cheats.
Yeah, Perez cheats. His way of driving is basically cheating.
How is it cheating?
You know, if you play Monopoly and you kind of sneak some money under the table, right?
Right.
It's not technically cheating, and that is technically cheating. He's like that. He's like he's sneaking. You know,
is he sneaking tyres under the table? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but I can't think of one. That doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Okay, so who are we saying?
Are we done?
Hulkenberg.
Yeah, maybe Hulk.
So one of the major talking points about Portugal was the fact that we were in Portugal. The Algarve International Circuit held its first F1 race. So what did you guys make of it? So Ross Chaplin asks, what, and I cannot stress this enough, the fuck was those opening laps? And Greg Campbell wants to know, why is there so much more overtaking at circuits not designed by Herman Tilke? And Alan David says, great evidence to bring entire warmer ban, cold tyres at start, equals exciting opening laps. They're right, I totally agree.
Wow.
First things first, the best thing about the race was that Portimao sounds like people are saying potty mouth. And they keep saying the potty mouth Grand Prix, to which I think my time has come.
Why weren't you there? Why weren't you on commentary duty?
I was the guy with the flag. Fuck off! It's a yellow fucking flag! I'm taking your fucking lap time away, you
Aside from the name, what did you reckon to the track? Haven't seen it before in F1.
I think it was good. I liked it.
It's lumpy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was very up and down.
Yeah.
Algarve sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never been. The opening laps were insane. Not sure that's to do with the track or not. I mean, what was going on with the opening laps? I don't really understand.
How much of it was tyres and how much of it was track?
Tyres was most of it for the first few laps. Basically, the softs seemed to work exceedingly well at the start from straight away, and the mediums took a couple of laps to heat up. That seemed to be the main trouble with tyres this weekend, is getting enough heat into them to make
but
them
But the mediums were actually bad. It wasn't even like the softs were better. Like, the mediums were bad. Like, Hamilton was, like, crawling around.
Yeah, everyone at mediums for the first couple of laps was basically like, hey! But then, after a couple of laps, they started to heat up, and then they went past all the soft guys again.
And I agree with the Herman Tilke thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know... I don't actually think there was... Undulation is good, but actually, to be honest, a lot of the overtaking was on the main straight because the DRS seemed to be maybe a little bit too long.
That's true.
I imagine if they ever do come back, they'll probably be a little bit shorter. But there was a little bit of overtaking, but a lot of it, again, was caused by tyre differences.
Cool.
So, yeah, it seems to be tyres. Let's piss around with the tyres again. That can only have great results. But I really like the track. Even, you know, it wasn't maybe the most overtakey race in the world, but I thought it was an entertaining race, and an awful lot of seeing the cars pop up over the hills and then disappear again made up for any lack of entertainment. I just liked them seeing go up and down, up and down.
What's that coming over the hill? Is it a Red Bull?
Is it Verstappen?
So just before Portimao, it was announced that Haas will be ditching both its drivers next year. Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen will be looking for new jobs in 2021. And we're pretty confident that neither will stay in F1. Harvey Graham Green says the Haas wankers showed in Portugal that we may not notice them leaving. And Nick Peppel says, you guys have to change your pronunciation of Haas now to signify the new era. Robert Barres says, first there was Jolyon, then Roman. Don't fret, someone new will take the torch. And Charles Mussard suggests replacements, Sergio and Hulk.
Well, let's do this backwards. The replacements are going to be Mick Schumacher and
Nikita Marzipan.
Icing Cake Marzipan.
That's him.
That's not been confirmed, but I think it's pretty much an open secret. We will change the pronunciation of Haas. We will change the pronunciation of Haas when we decide to, not when you fucking tell us to, you shit.
That's a bit harsh.
And the Haas wankers, yeah, let's be honest, we found out this week that their car has a weird overheating suspension that means the aero load changes by up to 4% throughout the lap. Now, I don't know enough about what that means, but it does not sound good.
No, that sounds like a fairly fundamental design problem.
Yeah, in Formula One, 4% is like 3 foot.
Oh, 4% is like 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like lots. If Grosjean goes, we'll need a new whipping boy. Any early contenders? We'll decide next year, probably, but...
Well, it's got to be Albon if he stays in Formula One.
But we did quite like him. Have we ever quite liked Grosjean? Actually, at the beginning, quite like Grosjean.
Yeah.
Maybe it will be Albon. Any other contenders? I don't know anything about Mazepin.
It's very almondy.
So in other news, Lance Stroll is horribly diseased and probably endangered everyone that has met him in the last few weeks. Or did he? The Canadian gazillionaire missed the last race at Nürburgring with the mysterious disease that definitely wasn't coronavirus, but that subsequently turned out to be... coronavirus.
Well,
I'm shocked to tell you.
So, last week, or last whenever it was, we talked about Lance Stroll not being there. Hülkenberg came in, brilliant. And we all joked about, oh, he had something, but it definitely wasn't coronavirus because he said it's not coronavirus. And then it turns out that he had a test on the day of the last Grand Prix and tested positive for coronavirus.
Whoops.
But for some reason didn't have to jump through all the same hoops that, for example, Perez did. So who the hell knows what's going on there?
Well, we all know the coronavirus disproportionately affects poor people. And he must have read that statistic and gone, oh, I'm fine then.
Did he just pay it off?
Yeah.
It seems a bit odd. I think there's a lot of people a bit cheesed off about it because presumably he wasn't isolating in the manner that he probably should have done.
He probably was, because I don't think anyone likes him. So he's probably sitting on his own most of the weekend.
Is he in his own bubble? His own bubble of sadness.
Just in his own motorhome. Everyone's like, oh, he's in there again. He's crying.
Oh, well, okay. Now it's gone a bit darker than I wanted it to, but...
It's okay when a rich person cries, Phil.
Okay, fine. They cry cash. But it seems like he's all right now. Although, you know, he is, as we discussed last week, suffering from the lingering effects of coronavirus, which include being shit at F1, which we'll discuss later on.
Ah, yes.
That's why I think I haven't had it. Because I'm great at Formula 1.
As you assume.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we are right, well, you owe us a beer and we have a lot of donors this week. So we're going to tackle them through some clever formatting. First, those with comments. So thank you, David Sayer, who says, I look forward to you butchering my name like everyone else does.
I think you're fine. It's David Sayer.
Sayer. Yeah, I think we got it. Nothing at all. Let's do the whole song.
Harvey Graham Green, who says, I often listen and don't donate. It was the coverage of Grosjean's finger that encouraged me to do it.
I know Harvey Graham Green's brother, Harvey Errol Flynn.
William Davies, who says, as an American F1 fan, listening to this podcast at work is my substitute for not having any fellow American fans to discuss motorsport that's not NASCAR with.
This is a tricky one because he seems like a really nice guy and lonely because he's an F1 fan, but also he loves NASCAR, probably a Trump voter.
No, I think he's saying that he doesn't want to talk about NASCAR. He wants to talk about F1 and everybody else wants to talk about NASCAR.
Oh, I see. You're right.
I could be wrong. Again, let us know, William, by donating again and sending us another message.
Jason Weber, who says, I completed the survey, also shopped around and bought two pieces of amazing FF1S swag. F1 can't die. Not like this.
It will be like this.
It will be exactly like this. It will just be slowly dribbling away until everyone goes, what was that thing we used to watch?
So then we're going to do some word association with these donors. One word each, please, for these. Rian Parkin.
Park it, car park.
Starting bud to make. That's five words.
Robert Fry.
Time to die.
Pie. Fry pie.
James Kerr.
Are you sure?
Martin Griffiths.
Whoa. I need a pisses.
Observatory.
Lucas Raskiewicz.
That sounds like you said it backwards.
Yeah.
Raskiewicz. I love
first
Satan.
The first word that comes to mind is butchered. Lucas Raskiewicz.
Joel Shapiro.
Shapiro?
He shouldn't be there on his own.
David Roberts.
Dave Bob.
Christopher Phillips.
Double Ellen Phillips, loving it.
Miranda Treffery.
Sounds like Jeffrey.
Sean Lord.
Our God.
John Bankston.
John Wankston.
And finally, a big thank you to our regular donors for their continued support in beer. Alan Digby, Keith Falconer, Charlie Fraser, Jenny and Ralph Brynard, Bryce Davies, Jason R. Bradley, James Kelly, John Auden Broski, Paul Hinton, and Christopher Lee. Join them by going to ff1s.com/pint. And now it's time for the teams. Mercedes. Hamilton is now the winningest driver ever, but does Bottas now hold the record for number of races being fastest at every point except where it actually mattered?
Yes. Classic Bottas. He's brilliant except when he needs to be. Then he loses by 25 seconds.
Well, but he even got in the lead. He got in the bloody lead and he still... Again, that's like two races in a row. He's leading the race. And then
fastest in every single practice. Fastest in every single qualifying session, I think, except Q3. And got in the lead and still loses by an enormous margin by modern standards. 25 seconds in the same car on the same tyre strategy without any major fuck-ups.
Do you think he just gets excited? Do you think he's just like, whoa?
I do think there's an element of that. I think he can't handle the pressure.
I did once lead a race on the Xbox, like, you know, those kind of online races. And I was in the lead by merit. You know, I started like sixth, but got into the lead on like the second lap. And I couldn't handle the pressure. It was terrifying.
There is a lot of it. It's a lot easier to be chasing something down rather than, unless you're Bottas, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, we've discussed it. Hamilton's one of, if not the greatest of all time. Bottas is just a quick racing driver who isn't as good at racing.
But anybody next to Hamilton isn't going to look great if Bottas is on
his own.
Well, the internet begs to differ, but
pretty sure if I was in that car, we'd be talking about me a lot more as I crash into everybody.
Yeah. I'm not convinced you'd get out of the pit lane, but yeah, you know, it's old news now. It's exactly what I think everyone expected to happen. Was it not? I mean, was anyone surprised?
Red Bull! Verstappen tangled with Perez and came in third, but Albon didn't manage to tangle with anyone as he watched them all go sailing past as he finished out of the points. And surely, as we said, out of a 2021 drive. We haven't talked about Verstappen. Yeah. What did you think?
It was good. You know,
he
again,
did clout Perez, though. Come on.
Well, did he clout Perez, or did Perez clout him, or was it a racing incident?
Look, you know I like Perez, and he definitely clouted him unfairly.
Verstappen was good. You know, he's Verstappen. He's good. He's getting the best out of a car that's not as good as the Mercedes and is very hard to drive. And he was third again.
McLaren. Sainz actually got into the lead for real. But then he fell back. Lando was doing very well, but then he got nerfed by Stroll.
Yeah.
Sainz was amazing.
That was genuinely great.
Three laps. Yeah, the first three laps were tremendous. So, you know, maybe temperature changing tires are the way to go. But
they could have tires like global hypercolor. The color of the tire is based on how hot or sweaty they are.
How sweaty? Yeah, how sweaty?
But that's how the t-shirts work. I guess that's the science.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, he did really well until it became clear that it was mainly because the other car's tires weren't working, and then he just went slowly backwards. But you know, he drove. It was fine. He did a reasonable job.
He got past Bottas.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not...
Yeah, true.
It's not that much to say, is it? And yeah, Lando got clobbered by Stroll, who we'll come to in a bit. So he was driving all right, but then he broke his car and that was the end of that, really.
But he was not doing as well as Sainz.
No, but I think they were stupidly close in qualifying. It was like 0.0005 or something in qualifying. They were pretty well matched.
Cool.
So Ferrari, Vettel was so far off Leclerc, he may as well just been still driving around the last Grand Prix. Leclerc was just good.
No, I thought Leclerc was properly superb in this race.
Really
good. How you get that absolute dog of a car into fourth place, not just fluking it, he was fourth in qualifying, he was fourth in the race, and Vettel was nowhere.
How long is Leclerc going to be at Ferrari for?
He signed like a 58-year contract.
Yeah,
so
I think he's there till he dies, and maybe even after that.
It will be like Mission Winnow. They'll have just like another driver in his contracted seat.
It will be interesting to see. Talking about Hamilton earlier and his skill, not just being a really good driver, but being able to help build a brilliant car. Be interesting to see if Leclerc can do that, because Schumacher did it as well.
And being in the right place at the right time, Fernando Alonso, that's a good thing about being a good driver, is not to end up in a dog shit Ferrari.
Yes. But no, I thought Leclerc was really good in this race, and Vettel was miles off. You know, I think he said in an interview he hasn't got a feel for the grip in the same way that that Leclerc does, which
I think it's because the Italians are putting horses' heads in Vettel's cockpit that he has to smush past like rotting head corpse.
Do you reckon it's like literally just under the camera that faces them, so you can't quite see it, but it's just staring.
Whenever
Vettel
looks down, there's just like a worm coming out of a horse's eye.
Oh, grazie ragazzi.
AlphaTauri. Gasly was mega again, finishing a deserved fifth and once again making Albon look like, well, Pierre Gasly.
But I mean, when you look at the finishing, Gasly 5th, Kvyat 19th. I mean, That's pretty bad. Yeah, Gasly was brilliant again. You know, stick him in an AlphaTauri, he's great. And I think he's got more of a chance of doing well next year in his confirmed AlphaTauri seat than he would at a Red Bull, frankly. And I don't know why he'd want to go back there. I mean, if I were him, as I said before, I think I'd be looking for a way out of my Red Bull contract so I can go somewhere else the following year.
Williams. Oh, no.
I mean, Kvyat was pretty terrible.
Well, let's face it, they've confirmed Gasly for next year today, but they have not confirmed Kvyat.
No, it'll be Albon. Ooh. I'm sure it'll be Albon now. I would put a cheeky fiver on him going back to AlphaTauri again.
Oh, what do you think? I think Albon's gone.
No, I don't think so. Because remember, he was good in the AlphaTauri. I think Kvyat and Gasly, Albon and Gasly in next year's AlphaTauri is a pretty decent combo.
Oh.
Although they might actually bond over their shared experiences.
And kiss.
What? Maybe.
Racing point. So Stroll might, as well, have still had coronavirus. A coughing fit in his car would have been the best explanation for his tangle with Norris. And Perez got Verstappen at the start and then got driver of the day. So you've been saying Perez is boring. I thought he was great in this race.
Yeah.
Apart
from the fact that he tangled with... Well, he tangled with Verstappen on the first lap, ended up facing the wrong way and last, and then had to pit because he had a puncture.
And then went, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that thing where you just have one tyre all race. Oh, I can't wait.
I mean, one tyre all race would be really impressive.
Okay, one set. Yeah. You know what I
mean. But he did very well. Got back up to fifth from last. Made his tyres last very well. If the race was two laps shorter, he would have finished fifth. But then
it's like bloody nasty Nick in EastEnders. Whenever you're bored, you could turn on EastEnders and know that nasty Nick's coming around asking his mum for money. So, Perez has got tyres.
I don't watch it.
But I haven't watched EastEnders for years. Nasty Nick's probably dead, isn't he?
Was that Leslie Grantham? Or was that Dirty
Den? No, that was Dirty Den. You got Nasty Nick, Dirty Den, Raby Roger.
Good writers on EastEnders. Stroll was rubbish. I don't that move on Norris was never on. I don't know what he was thinking. I think they just retired him because he was crap. Didn't he get a load of penalties as well? I think he got two lots of penalties.
He had a black and white flag for missing the track. And then there was something... Just missing the track. It's going, I miss you. Stroll thing. And
for Norris calamities.
Yeah, they retired him because he was a liability. The official reason in the standings was liability.
Yeah.
Renault weren't that great, to be honest. Ricciardo buggered up his car and Ocon was one of those beneficiaries of the early lap tyre shenanigans. Danny Ric is somehow fourth in the championship. He had some good races.
He got a podium, didn't he? I mean, that's a bad indictment on Albon, isn't it?
Still, though, seeing that he's in fourth, it does seem strange he got there.
He's good, you know, of all the midfield drivers.
I'm not saying he's not good. I just don't feel like he's had enough wins or enough. Not obviously not enough wins. I just don't feel he's done well enough to get there.
I agree. Now it feels like if you'd ask me who was fourth, I'd have probably gone for Sainz or someone because it feels like he's been up there more. Just on feeling. I'm not basing it on points scored. I'm basing it on feelings.
I think Ricciardo's always been sort of there or thereabouts, whereas McLaren have gone from being way to being whoa.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And Albon
it's just
has been
boring
nowhere.
Consistency. Perez-like consistency. I mean, when you put it like that, I think it's more everybody else fucking up regularly than necessarily Renault being stupendous. But, you know, cool. Fair play to Danny Ric. He's got the most out of it. Ocon actually beat Ricciardo in the race, but
he's been very invisible this year. It doesn't feel like he should have beat him in the race. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How did he end up beating Ricciardo? Oh, because Ricciardo ballsed up his qualifying, didn't he? He crashed in qualifying.
Yes.
And then couldn't get going in Q3. But surely he still started in front of Ocon. I don't know what happened, but anyway, I don't really care.
At last, 5 years in, you finally get to be like the rest of them.
Alfa Romeo. Kimi had a flyer at the start. He climbed in fifth on the softs by lap two, but then dropped back. But held on well in a car that had no right to be in the top 10. And wasn't, but only just. Kimi Raikkonen was amazing at the start.
It was.
He was. It wasn't like... just that he was on good tyres. He was actually good.
Yeah. He had two really good laps.
This year.
For the first time in the last 10 years, I would say. Yep. Well, first time since 2007. When did he last win a race? No, he won at Circuit of the Americas a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he won one race in Ferrari's second stint. And now these two laps were as good as that. And apart from that, we're looking at his McLaren years, really. Because the first Ferrari championship was a bit of a fluke. So we're going back to, like, you know, the early 1980s when he drove. Yes.
If he'd got a point in this, we could remember this. We could say, oh, do you remember that drive in Portugal 2020? If he didn't get a point, we will not remember this.
No, I think in this YouTube age, I think we'll remember it because there's a YouTube video of him carving through the field on the first couple of laps, and it's good to watch. I'll remember you, Kimi.
Haas.
Hey.
On the downside, the Haas is really bad this year because of weirdly overheating suspension. But every cloud turns out Grosjean has been warming the team's croissants on it all season.
I think it would be a very Grosjean thing that he would just now turn around and go, oh yeah, I put a little croissant heater in the back of the car. I thought it'd be nice. A toaster.
Sorry, it's in my recipe book.
Yeah.
Races are very
long. You've not read the cookbook? Because if you read the cookbook, I wrote it on the introduction to That's Where I Put It, and none of you have read it.
What was his book called? I can't remember now. Was it Suitably Cringeworthy?
I think it was called Suitably Cringeworthy.
The Roman Grosjean story.
Oh, did they do anything in the race? No. Fuck them. Next.
No, we're not going to miss them. You know, apart from, you know, dropping.
We are going to miss Grosjean because that's a lot of my content.
It provides a lot of material. Yeah. And, you know, the ball-sucking jokes are always easy to do.
Cuisine, confidences.
Cooking and confidence. Those are two things he can't do.
Williams, Russell.
He did well. He was up in the points for a bit. You know, it was a pit stop thing, but he was doing it. So well done him.
Yeah. No, he did very well. Latifi was, you know, big Fiat.
All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
In first place, it's Lewis Hamilton with 92 wins, baby! In second place, it's the 92nd time I've reinvented myself. It's Valtteri Bottas, 92.0. 92 third place finishes would still be a record, wouldn't it? Ask Google's Max Verstappen. £92 million in the bank was worth it. Daniel Ricciardo is in fourth. It's the 92nd clause in my contract, says Charles Leclerc, which is stop Sebastian from feeling any grip. Sixth place, 92 laps on one set of tyres. It's Sergio Perez, your favourite. 90 fucking 2. It's Lando Norris doing a radio thing that will go on YouTube, just swearing. I mean, think about Lando Norris. He's got famous by just like swearing on the radio, which I think is a despicable way to have a career. 92 more foes to vanquish. Oh no, hang on. Eighth place. You are 92nd in the queue. That's Alexander Albon next year at the job centre. 92 more foes to vanquish is Pierre Gasly. 92 seconds in the lead, Dad, says Carlos Sainz. I've had 92 coughs in a row, Dad. Let me go home, says Lance Stroll. I've got daddy issues, haven't I? Quattro Van Duz, says Esteban Ocon. 92 days till I'm out of here, Sebastian Vettel, working his notice. 92 days until I'm in a submarine. That's another lazy racist stereotype for Daniel Kvyat. 92 wins, but I don't get a single podium, is Hülkenberg. 92 days since I cut my hair, is Giovinazzi. I'm really running out of things to say about him. I'm 92, is Kimi Raikkonen. 9 bunches of flowers for €2. That's Roman Grosjean's job next year. And 92 balls to suck is Kevin Magnussen. And for the teams, it's Halloween coming up. And you know how all the wankers on Twitter do that thing where they change their Twitter name to be something scary for Halloween?
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Filtromans.
Chica, have you done that?
It's not even a good one.
No, I wouldn't.
Of course you haven't done it, because we're both respectable individuals. Anyway, for all of those people, all of those wankers who do the team social media that's probably listening, I've done your job for you. So, in first place, it's Mercedes. In second place, Red Bull. In third place, racing pointed needles to stab you with. In fourth place, McLaren ding your life with an axe. In fifth place, Renault, no, I've killed again. In sixth place, Ferrari, really, there's someone behind you. In seventh place, AlphaTauri, which is, you know, scary. In eighth place, Alpha combing the woods looking for little boys. It's Alpha
Romeo. What?
In ninth place, overheating suspension. Oh, that's scary. And in tenth place, it's Willy Flans.
Willy Flans? What?
Willy Flans is what the murderer makes out of all the little boys' penises. Let me make you eat a Willy Flan.
And now for the man of the match of driving.
Sergio
Gasly.
No, it's none of us said Hamilton.
Oh.
Before we move on, it is time to reveal who's going to win that FF1S merch. Terry, pick a number.
83.
Phil, pick another number.
69.
Halfway between is our winner, Chris Clark.
Yay.
Well done,
congratulations.
Chris.
Congratulations.
Brilliant.
Chris from the West Midlands.
Oh, that Chris Clark.
We are going to be sending you a special something just in time for Christmas.
That sounds threatening.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Did you see how dizzyingly exciting the first few laps of the race were? The track was slippy, the tyres were wet, Kimi felt young again, and a McLaren legitimately passed a Mercedes for the lead. What happened? I don't even know. The tyres weren't what they thought, the track was oily because it was new, and maybe everyone was drunk. I don't care! It was amazing! Only slightly sullied by the fact that you knew in a few laps that the Mercedes might would reassert themselves over the plucky signs, and then Hamilton would reassert himself over Bottas all over again as the tyres sorted themselves out. But again and again and again, F1 shows us it only gets exciting when the data boffins mess up. Imola are having their one practice then quali at the next race, which might help reinforce the hypothesis that the only thing holding F1 back is people that know too much about F1. But don't worry, I have a solution. There's a global jobs crisis thanks to the pandemic, and let's face it, F1 staff have had it too easy for too long. My proposal is this time out is for F1 to help the world economy by firing most of their staff and having replacements randomly allocated from some of the world's furlough and benefit claimants. For one, a lot of people who are wondering if they could feed the family at Christmas will suddenly walk into a six-figure salary job. And maybe it'll help F1 if an ex-Weatherspoons manager was given a new role of head of aerodynamics for Racing Point, or an estate agent is the new press officer for McLaren, and maybe a guy who was homeless last week now runs Ferrari. If it works, then Formula One will have done a good thing. If it doesn't, then at least the opening laps will be interesting.
Agreed. Brilliant idea.
Mm.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
That was the State of F1 brought to you this season by Carfection. And Terry, this video.
So a video went up this weekend all about maximum tenures of drivers. In this video, I choose to slag off Kimi Raikkonen for being a shit driver and really boring. And obviously that video went up about 20 minutes before Kimi Raikkonen did the one good thing he's done in the last 20 years. So, you know, as you can imagine, the comments are really kind.
Find the State of F1 right now at youtube.com/carfection and stick around to discover the best looking car content anywhere online. That is youtube.com/carfection. That is it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
We have not had time to talk about Lewis Hamilton's contract for next year, which he still hasn't signed. Is he going to? Who knows? That'd be a story, wouldn't it?
He will.
Okay. But imagine if he didn't.
Ooh.
And to Terry Saunders.
We've not had time to talk about also Lewis Hamilton, but his Formula E X Dream Formula Sex launch this week.
Formula which Sex. Is
Formula Sex. Great. It's as good as it sounds.
But also, we also haven't had time to talk about the fact that also launched one. I don't know who that was. I just opened my mouth and those beeps came out. That was weird. So, yeah, old rivalry.
We'll be back next week to discuss the Formula One Emirates Gran Premio de... How do you say that?
San Marino. It's the San Marino Grand Prix, you fucking pricks.
It's the San Marino Grand Prix, but it's not.
In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ For F1's Sake, and follow us on Twitter at For F1's Sake. Terry, where can people buy merch?
ff1s.com/shop.
Don't forget, there is a great video all about Senna's car in our show notes. Go and check it out now. Thanks for listening. See you next week. I've been G. Grez. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.